Good morning, WLLY listeners. This is Brother Amen Dave Moran. The Amen Corner is on the air again. We'll have some good singing and music, as well as some old-time preaching. Amen. You can listen to WLLY anywhere you want to by going to WLLYradio.com. And it's all one word, WLLYradio.com. And just follow the instructions. This program is part of my personal ministry to see God's Word glorified. If I can plant a seed in your heart or water a seed already there, I pray God will give the increase. To God be the glory. Amen. So here is today's program. Praise the Lord. It's going to be me singing this time. And the late Bill Quidley is going to be playing on the piano, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace. Oh, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what a day of singing, oh, what a day of shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. What a day of glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, changed within them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what a singing, oh, what a shouting, shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. What a day of glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song with when we shall be praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what a singing, oh, what a shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. What a day of glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Oh, what a singing, oh, what a shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. What a day of glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior yonder in the skies.
All right, we're going to be reading. We're going to have the book of Daniel read to us, and I'm going to comment on what's being read. We're going to be in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, beginning in verse 20.
Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle.
Hello. Did Daniel say a raiser of taxes? Let's go to the book of St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, a raiser of taxes. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Isn't that interesting? A raiser of taxes.
And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant.
That the prince of the covenant would be broken. It says, with an arms of a flood. We're in Daniel 11:22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. The Caesar we're talking about here would be Tiberius. He was Caesar when Jesus was crucified. Tiberius' legions put down a provincial rebellion with considerable bloodshed and within Rome itself. And Tiberius exiled the entire Jewish community. If you're a reader of the book of Acts, you may realize that I think it was Aquila and Priscilla, and so Paul met up with them because they were expelled from Rome, and that's mentioned in the book of Acts. The most ominous and the least defensible aspect of Tiberius's first years as emperor was the growth of the practice called delation. Most crimes committed by well-to-do citizens were under Roman law punished in part by heavy fines and confiscations, and these fines contributed in a large part to the growth of the imperial treasury. But the money did not go to the fiscus, well, I guess would be the treasury, because there were no paid prosecutors. Any citizen could act as a volunteer prosecutor. If the person he accused was convicted, he could collect a share of the confiscated property. Sounds like some kind of a deal like you'd have today. These volunteers, called delators, made a profitable career of seeking out and inventing crime. That's what they're doing today with President Trump, probably. Many of the prosecutions were based on rumor or falsified evidence. Yeah, it sounds like today.
And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate.
Okay, we're talking about the destruction of the temple. There was a great revolt that took place in 66 A.D., and it was the first of the three major Jewish rebellions against the Romans, and it eventually resulted in the destruction of the Second Temple, which was in 70 A.D. When the Romans occupied Israel in 63 B.C., life for the Jews became increasingly difficult for three major reasons: taxes, Roman control over the high priest, and the general treatment of Jews by the Romans, ideological differences between the pagan Greco-Roman world and the Jewish belief in one God were also at the heart of political tensions that eventually led to the revolt.
And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed.
Okay, after the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 A.D., in the latter part of the book of Acts, and in the second book of Timothy, we see where Paul was eventually beheaded, and there rose a lot of persecution against Christians. And you know, in history, the Christians were sent to be slaughtered in the Roman arenas. They were fed to lions and attacked by dogs, set fire to, and all those things began to happen. There was a great persecution. They're cast into prison, like all the things we're just talking about here. But they'll be hoping with a little help. It says, I wonder if they're not talking about when Rome adopted Christianity as its official religion later on, much later, after Nero, who was the emperor when Paul was beheaded, after Nero, later Christianity was adopted as the state religion. So you would be killed before if you were found to be a Christian, and then you were killed if you were found not to be a Christian.
And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the god of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the god of forces, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him.
All right, now we're getting down to what I believe is going to be the Antichrist, and some of the things that he does have just been mentioned. He plants his tabernacles in the Holy Land. He claims the Holy Land is being his. He's going to set himself up in the temple of God and try to show himself that he is God. And he will be related to the Roman Empire somehow. They are all part of the same thing. It says the people of the prince that shall come, you know, and it's all connected together. So this would be the Antichrist himself, which is yet to come. It'll happen not far down the road, and we'll be talking about tribulation and all those things that are coming as well.
Chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Says that knowledge would be increased. Many would run to and fro, and knowledge would be increased at the time of the end. And is that not like today? We have so much more knowledge. We have, we're getting into exploration of space and all those things. It's a shame that knowledge is increased, but not wisdom. It doesn't mention wisdom, but the knowledge, it kind of puffs us up, doesn't it? And many are going to and fro. There, people are traveling all over the world talking about so-called global warming, but this world is going to burn and God is going to burn it up. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. Praise the Lord.
Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished.
It used to be long ago, you could go to just about any church in town, and they were preaching the same thing. And a lot of people acknowledge that. I'm from Michigan. I heard the same thing there. I've heard the same thing here in North Carolina, that almost every church would preach about the same thing. I'm talking about during the Depression, probably, and thereafter, the 1930s and 40s. A lot of churches preached holiness, but the power of the holy people is being scattered. Our holiness churches, we just have a few members, and the pews are empty. I wanted to talk about the woman of Samaria that Jesus met when he said in the Bible he must needs go through Samaria, and he stopped at Jacob's well there at the town of Sychar, I believe it was, and the woman of Samaria met him. And if you recall that story, she was the one that brought up the idea of Messiah would come and tell them all things. She said, well, when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus tells her, well, I that speak unto you am he. And so he tells her to go call her husband and come back. You know, and she tried to tell him that she didn't have a husband. And he says, well, you've said right. You know, thou hast spoken true. He said, you've had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not your husband. But the woman later, she went back into town, and she was the one who said the Messiah is coming. So she heard about the Messiah somehow before the Lord got there. And she talked to the men in town and said, come see a man that told me everything that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they didn't have to ask her, what do you mean, Christ? What are you talking about? They knew exactly what she was talking about, because they all expected the Messiah. And that's what I'm driving at right now, is people had that idea in their mind, even in Samaria, which was not connected directly with the Jewish people. They intermingled some, and they somehow got the story that the Messiah was coming. They somehow heard about it. It was common knowledge, and that's what we've got today. So many people, they realize and they feel like something's going to happen. They feel like the Lord is going to return, or they feel like there's going to be World War III, or there's going to be some kind of a big catastrophe to happen. They've got that feeling in their mind that something is going to happen. And that's the way things were back in Jesus' day. And he talked about that. The Lord did, after that incident. He told his disciples, he said, you know, you other people have come and planted seed, and you're entered into that work. You've entered in. The others have sown, and you're here to reap. He said, look to the harvest. You know, look to the fields. They're already white to harvest, and they were at that time. They were white unto harvest. I don't think they're white unto harvest the way they are now. My own opinion is that we're doing the gleaning, the very end time. After the harvest is taken, there's a little gleaning that can be done. You know, the Lord told that one parable. The king told the men to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in to the dinner. And that's about where we are today, just a few here and there. And it is a tragic thing. When you want healing, when you know that God is the only one who can intervene, the doctors have done all they can do, you go look yourself a holiness church. and ask for prayer. If you've got any sense, you'll do that anyway, because God is still in the healing business. I thank God for all His mercy, that even though the power of the holy people is being scattered more and more, yet God is still watching over His people. He's still keeping us. He's still answering prayer, and He's still saving a few here and there. Praise the Lord. But God is going to take care of us. He's not forsaken us. Even though the power of the holy people scattered, yet He is going to remain true. He's going to keep His word. He watches over His word to fulfill it. Praise God. Amen.
And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And He said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days.
This has been the Amen Corner radio program with Dave Moran. This program is on the air each Saturday from 10:30 to 11. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're looking for a home church or a church to visit, come to our services here at Harbor Light Holiness Church on Highway 42 East, just about 2 miles from Wilson, on the left-hand side, just past Tarts Mill Road. Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m. and evening service is at 6 p.m. Our midweek service is at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, so you can come and visit. Brother Irvin Lewis is our pastor. He'll be very happy to see you there.